Welcome to the Williams Meekin Why Be Hurtin' phone conference line.
Hi, it's Joan.
Good morning, Joan. Monty's here.
Oh, listen, I just sent an email to Ruth with links to this movie. I believe that Monsanto has devised a way to actually permanently damage supplement companies, including Meekin, Shackley, etc. Anyway, I'm just really...
Well, I wouldn't doubt it. You know, they've certainly brought in the GMO-type things and pretty well much destroyed a lot of the crops. And when I say destroyed, I mean make them not their, what they were originally meant to be.
Well, it's not just that. It's the fact that what they've done to the soybeans is that they have made them Roundup resistant. So that all the soybeans, if you're a farmer, all the soybeans will be grown on Roundup fields. And we already learned that toxins, soybeans are not killed with heat. That means all the health food products with soy, the suppliers will not know if the soybeans that they use in their wonderful protein whatevers are laced with Roundup Agent Orange. They won't know.
Yep, I so believe it.
They won't know.
In my mind.
And because they are fighting that that GMO labeling, the only way we would know was it would be GMO. And it's not just the GMO aspect. It's the fact that Roundup can be used on those products.
Yep.
On those genetically altered products.
I know. It's headed in a long way down the road. Well, why don't we go ahead and get the call started then. I'd like to welcome everybody on the call here on a Friday, the August 3rd. I'm calling from Olympia, Washington, and I'm excited about being on the call. I'm excited for those of you that are on the call, and we're going to have some good fun today. We're going to talk a little bit about some genetics of diseases and where they got kind of how things happened in our world and how sometimes we've been very misled in regards to life expectancies and things like that. But what I always do on Monday is I go ahead and start and kind of review what we did last week. And Monday, Ruth had the call, and basically she pretty well much talked about some best foods like sweet potatoes, mangoes, Greek yogurt, broccoli, garbanzo beans, watermelon, butter squash, and leafy greens. They all have pretty much good ingredients, and that's what we want to look for when we have eat our food and diet. She talks about antioxidants. She talked about Siaga was very good to protect the brain. Alzheimer's usually has something to do with high fat intake. Joan talked about an organization called the Gerson Organization and how you can get some real good information there. Ruth also talked about a high caloric diet, how it can create some real problems, and finding that the lower the caloric, the longer possibly people live. She also mentioned something about lemon juice that I hadn't heard before. It was quite interesting, and that how basically lemon juice pretty well much causes the absorption of aluminum. And so high levels of citric acid basically pull aluminum out of certain things. She talked about a blueberry extract and how it basically prevents or reverses it. She talked about how eggs are good. And so from there, we went to Tuesday with Karen. Tuesday with Karen. I don't think Donna was on the call. Karen talked about the top seven food ripoff of foods. First one was prepackaged meals. The second was canned vegetables. The third was organic junk food. The fourth was... these fancy energy drinks and all that sort of stuff, lattes that were loaded with sugar. Or she mentioned that organic oranges and bananas, that you could just pretty much just, as long as you could take the peel off of something, it was even better and didn't have so much pesticides and herbicides. She talked about gluten-free foods. And basically that if you want to save money, one of the things to do if you eat meat, and that is to don't necessarily eat the high-cut price, the high-cut beef, the high cuts of beef, then you can actually save money. She talked about free contact getting with your local fruit stands and getting as much fruit as you possibly could. And I know one of the things I've had here when we had apple the younger days, and that was that people would actually come by if they noticed that we weren't picking the apples, and they'd asked if they could go ahead and pick the apples. And I find that so true with a lot of people that have apple, old apple trees in their, on their property, that sometimes they don't utilize them. So it's one way of getting some free fruits, I guess. Wednesday, I took the call for Mary Lou, tried to follow up on her particular idea in regards to metabolism, and we're talking about how to boost metabolism. We talked about the thyroid glands, Wilson thyroid syndrome that's out there, and how people with thyroid problems have situations with their temperature, and they get cold hands and cold feet. And we talked about how medium-chain fatty acids compared to long-chain fatty acids are better for you. We also found out that medium-chain fatty acids also help burn the long-chain fatty acids. So that was kind of it. Then on Thursday, Nancy came in. We talked about gluten, that how wheat is one of the bad things in regards to gluten, and basically blood sugar spikes when using flour particularly. And so what happens is the pancreas has to kick in and kick out more insulin. And we talked about that wheat contains a protein that puts the body into overdrive. It's bad for your colon. We talked about one way to find out if you're gluten sensitive, and that is to take all the gluten food out of your diet for 2 weeks and then start to introduce it back. And if you have some funny feelings or have certain things that you know aren't right, then that probably suggests that you are sensitive to gluten. She talked about how sprouted beans basic is the best for type of, and that nut flours are better than basically white flour. Stick with the whole grain flours. That's the whole grain, not the what they call enriched flours, because enriched flours, basically the good things are all taken out of it anyhow. I think it takes out about 20, I think there's about 22 vitamins and minerals in the whole grain, but when they enrich it or take it down, they basically only add, they take out all those vitamins and minerals, but they only introduce 4 back into the product, the flour. Wild rice she thought was great, quinoa, whole foods and whole wheat. So, and then Joan talked to us about a website that we could go to called Blood Sugar 101 that really kind of explained how our body reacts to that. So if you want to know more, you can do that. Of course, our mission on this call every day is to teach and support the practice of habitual health style choices, becoming more mind and body fit. And one of the things, if you didn't get to on one of the calls this week and you want to go back and check it out, you can always go to allswell.org and pull up that the Healthy Choice Lifestyle calls, and you can re-listen to the calls that were basically that you missed last week. So, again, I'd like to welcome everybody on the call. And today, as I'm going along and with this information, whatever, when I read a lot of this information that I'm going to talk to you about today, I was kind of amazed on kind of where we're at and where we're headed and where we were 200 years ago compared to where we are today in regards to diseases. Does anybody have anything you want to say about last week or anything that maybe was your golden nugget that you got out of last week's call? This week's call, excuse me. Please feel free to speak up at any time if you have any comments or whatever, because I usually when I get to rolling here, I keep right on going. So if you have anything you want to say about it, you can bring it up at that particular time, or we can talk and discuss it later. But the mechanism for disease. What is the mechanism for diseases? Well, according to the standard medical philosophy, the mechanisms that cause all diseases are biologic organisms, genetics, degeneration, autoimmune, abnormal growth, inflammation, physical and chemical agents, and malnutrition. And Joan and I was talking about toxins here earlier in the call. But the mechanism that is created with causing the most diseases upon which most treatments focus is biological organisms. Biologic organisms include viruses, bacteria, fungi, pathogenic, and things such like parasites. Since the discovery of germs by, a person that we all know a lot about, and that was Louis Pasteur, in the mid-19th century, micronisms had been blamed for nearly every ill of mankind. The concept of pathogenic organisms causing disease amounts so prevalent that it became overcome common sense. A century ago, almost all diseases were considered caused by these creatures. In the late 19th century, the practice of, and I'd heard about this before, but I didn't really know that it meant so much, when we talk about, you know, like the gluten and what the manufacturers are doing to a lot of our products. But in the late 19th century, the practice of polishing rice became widely popular. And the trouble was, like polishing rice removed the vitamin-rich outer layers of the grain and made them whiter and more pleasing to people. And as this practice became widespread, a rare disease called beriberi spread like plague throughout the East, and beriberi is characterized by a swelling of tissue degeneration. Because it was believed that germs were responsible for most of these illnesses, beriberi was first to believe to be the result of some pathogenic microisms, and that's where it happened then. But similar occurrences happened with wheat, when the use of white flour became common, and that's what Nancy talked about in her call this week. And one of the things, a notable case about this was having to do that among the Eskimos, a ship was wrecked in the Arctic, and upon salvaging the white flour, the Eskimos lived on that almost exclusively and soon developed beriberi. And then after they returned to their normal diet, the disease disappeared. And that's one of the things we're finding out today, that a lot of our food is just the basic nutritional value is being removed because it seems like sometimes we get on certain kicks. Of course, the lack of vitamin C was also widespread deficiencies. We know that in regards to scurvy. We know that when people crossed the good Atlantic or wherever they were going on large ships, they always put fruits and vegetables and dried meat and things like that aboard. But unfortunately, when they left over there to come wherever they were going, the first food that they ate and that spoiled on them was, of course, the fruit and the vegetables. So they ate that first. So the major part of the voyage of the trip was all the dried meats and things like that. And that's created the problem in regards to scurvy. Another mechanism of disease is attributed to degeneration. By some unknown means, tissues begin to degenerate and fall apart. Degenerative diseases is considered a normal consequence of aging. And I want you to kind of remember that, what I just said there, that we normally think of degeneration as a normal function of aging, but I'll get into that basically a little bit later. The number of degenerative diseases have been skyrocketing over the past century. It is estimated that most everyone will be affected by some type of degenerative disease in their lifetime. It is not limited to the elderly, though. Even children are becoming affected. It has become a major threat to health in industrialized countries. Interestingly, degenerative diseases are relatively rare in the third world countries. They're finding that another mechanism disease is autoimmune immunity with our bodies. Some diseases basically result from the immune system failing. A mechanism closely related to autoimmune is inflammation. I know we talk a lot about inflammation here on this particular program. And of course, the inflammation response is a normal mechanism that usually speeds recovery from an infection or injury. However, when the inflammatory response occurs at inappropriate times or is abnormal, prolonged or severe, normal tissues may become damaged. And we find that so true. The body then malfunctions when this pretty much happens and we create other problems. We also know that physical and chemical agents are also recognized as a cause of disease. And here we get into the toxins that, you know, Ruth has talked about, and we all know that basically a lot of our food is a lot of the herbicides and pesticides are put on them. And we also know that all drugs are foreign chemicals to the body, and such are toxic. In other words, when we take medications, basically we're putting, and I've always believed that, I've always said, and I know I've said it on this call, that anytime you put a foreign subject into your body, it's got to not have good, good things will really happen. But in a lot of things, drugs do take care of a particular problem. But also they have adverse side effects. And if you ever heard an advertisement or read a bottle of stuff that you've gotten from the pharmacy, or that piece of paper they always give you when you get a new drug or whatever, my gosh, it talks about anywhere from diarrhea to death can happen, no matter what it seems that the particular drug is. The balance for the vast majority of diseases is given to microorganisms, genetics, abnormal growth, degeneration, autoimmune inflammation. The two primary causes for disease are actually malnutrition and chemical agents are largely, malnutrition and chemical agents are largely ignored. In other words, so I thought that was kind of interesting. Another cause is entirely overlooked by many, and that is the excess stress of physical and mental stress. Stress can cause physical injury. You can get pulled muscles, broken bones, bruising, chemical imbalances, such as increasing acidity of body fluids, the breakdown of the immune system, overworked organs, or it can drain vital nutrients from the body. And I do know that stress can really take its toll, whether it be physical stress or mental stress or whatever, that our body actually, I'll call it a shock, and I don't mean that maybe in the medical term because I'm not a medical profession or never had any experience in that field, but I really believe that it's almost a shock to the body, and when we have our mental or physical stresses, it ain't good, and our bodies don't respond to it. It also says that the underlying cause for all disease is malnutrition, toxic accumulation, and excess stress. And the other thing that we've heard, many people are brainwashed into believing that genetics has control over their life. And I find this true, that if one of their parents had cancer, so they will too have cancer. This is a form of self-fulfilling prophecy. They program themselves to get cancer or diabetes or arthritis or any other disease because they believe it is genetic and there is nothing they can do about it. And this is a lie, it says. Disease is not genetic. Although we may have weaknesses and predispose certain organs, they don't have to break down, but can do their job adequately for a lifetime if the toxic thought is not allowed to interfere in the body, it is kept, and the body then is kept, we can keep it unpolluted. Genetics is not a problem, it is claimed to be. So-called genetic conditions are responding to diet and detoxification treatments. We'll get into that a little bit later. They say, this is not to say that genetics doesn't play a role in our health, for it does. Some people are genetically stronger than others, others are weaker, and whatever. But I thought that was kind of interesting, too, that most of us are born with completely functional organs that, although they may be inherently weak, will function adequately if supplied with adequate nutrient and kept toxin-free. We also find that many conditions which are incurable by standard medical practices are attributed to genetics. And they find that they're starting to say that, you know, that like I said, if you have cancer within the family, then everybody kind of thinks that they're going to come down with cancer. But most of the so-called genetic conditions can and have been cured or at least helped by diet and detoxification therapies. A woman's diet prior to and throughout pregnancy is crucial for the health, for her health and the growth, development, and health of an infant she carries. And I find that so true more days, and I know they're starting to discover that more so than they ever have before, that women considering having children need to prepare themselves before they even become pregnant. Avoiding toxins and eating wisely will help to ensure the health for the future generations. If this were done, many of the so-called genetic diseases could be conquered. One of the things I find is true is that, you know, that whatever the mother, the expectant mother, those nutrients and vitamins or toxins or whatever are transferred to the child. And I think Ruth has mentioned one time that children are born now that there's almost over 200 and some chemicals or toxins or bad things that can determine in the blood samples of children, and I think that's something we need to think about. Aging and disease. Most degenerative diseases are frequent infections, we are told, and a normal part of aging, we must expect them. Growing older is blamed for many degenerative conditions, which your standard medical treatment fails to correct. If you look at people in less developed countries where degeneration disease is rare, some live to be 90 to 100 years of age. And I find that so true, that so-called age-related diseases. Many of people continue to work in those third country, world countries, right up to the time that they die. And degenerative diseases is clearly not a condition of aging. And I know I've even said to myself, well, you know, I just turned 40, or now I'm 60, and now I'm 70, and, you know, I guess I need to expect these things happening in my body because my body is basically getting older and it is having these degenerative situations. We are told that when we get older, like I said, in time, the age in which these conditions were becoming evident dropped to 50. Then they went to 40. Now we see old age diseases in people who are only in their 30s and 20s, and even in teenagers. These are not natural conditions, and they don't develop in healthy bodies. And I find that to be true regardless of the age. Ill health can be reversed by changing factors that contribute to disease. We talk about that a lot in this program. Diet, of course, is one of those main factors. By eating a more primitive diet, we avoid foods which are nutrient-poor and laden with toxins. And the reversal of damage effects of modern foods was clearly demonstrated during the, I don't know if any of you remember this or not, I know I certainly did, it was when they took a group of people and put them in a biosphere, it was called the Biosphere 2 experiment, to where they basically put these people in a bubble, and they raised all their food. In the experiment, 8 men and women lived the entire time in an environment-sealed enclosure. Their food consisted entirely of what they raised themselves without chemicals and without modern processing methods. Their food retained all its naturally occurring nutrients and fiber. It goes on to say that no chemicals were added. What they ate was limited to what they could grow, which also limited the quantity they could eat. So the risk factors associated with heart disease, cancer, and other degenerative conditions, such as high blood pressure and body weight, fell to optimum levels. Within only 6 months, the average weight of every person in there, this is the average weight, decreased by 26 pounds in the men and 15 pounds in the women. Their blood pressure levels dropped from an average of 110 over 75 to 90 over 58. Their memory, their mood, and energy levels also improved. In the short and the functional age of the participants decreased, the functional age, basically decreased, which means they functionally, their bodies became younger. Essentially, they became physically and mentally younger and healthy. Now, let's talk about life expectancy. You know, back in our life expectancy today for women is about 79.4, and for men it's 73.8, almost 74 years on average for both men and women. The life expectancy for industrial countries varies by only a couple of years. Life expectancy is often cited as the proof of effectiveness of modern medicine and the reason for the prevalence of degenerative diseases now. In the 1900s, the life expectancy was only 45 years. Now, what I mean by that and how they figure life expectancy, what that means doesn't mean that you're only going to live to be, you're going to be dead by 45. What that means is that back in those days, the people died of infections because they couldn't get treated, they couldn't get to doctors, they had mechanical failures of equipment on the farms, in the cities, and whatever. They just had a lot of things. Plagues came along and just totally wiped out a whole lot of people. They had wars, you know, the Civil War and whatever. So that didn't mean, and I think a lot of people think of lifetime expectancy, or life expectancy, is that's when most people died in those particular years. But, you know, I found out that one of the other things I should say is before the 20th century, infant mortality was extremely high, as death from infectious diseases, especially in overcrowded cities where sanitation was poor and disease-causing microorganisms, insects, and rodents also lived alongside men, which are main carriers for all kinds of diseases and everything. So when we look at when we discovered how to have better sanitation in our cities and where we lived and that sort of stuff, diseases and all that, those bad things basically dropped off, and that's why. Some people claim that because of the advance in modern technology, we live longer more than people did in the past. They disregard the threat toxins have in the environment, feeling medical science has all the answers and that we are really better off now than any time in our history. And what we find is that basically is not true. If you go back and I'll just name a few names, for instance, back in the days of when our country started, and those people didn't die when people thought they should at age 45. But Benjamin Franklin was 84. George Washington died at 67. Samuel Johnson lived to be 75. Thomas Jefferson, 83. John Adams, 91. John Quincy Adams, 81. James Monroe died at 73. And, you know, I look at my grandma and grandpas and the generations that have gone before me, that, you know, most of those people lived to be quite aged, and I find that that's so true. But they also raised their vegetables and their fruits on the farm here, and things just got, they didn't have the problems that a lot of people had. And so you see, not only has the true life expectancy of people 200 years ago no less than ours today, but in fact longer. They had a four-year edge over us. We have actually lost 4 years in true life expectancy over the past 200 years. Another big difference between life now and previous generations is that they did not suffer from decades of degenerative diseases slowly entering, eating away on their bodies. Like I said, many people died of infectious illnesses back in those days, which basically affected the life expectancy. It has also been estimated that if given healthy, clean foods, avoiding excesses, getting daily exercise in a toxin-free environment, humans could live to be, and I think the scientists are now saying 120 to 122 years of age. But unfortunately, we get people that when they hit age 65, 46.5% of them have arthritis, 37.9% have hypertension diseases, 28.4 have hearing impediments. It goes on and on and on. So we've really kind of based upon our diet habits of these long-lived people are rather varied. They eat a mixture of foods, primarily grains, vegetables, fruits, and nuts. Now, when I talk about grains, back in those days it was pretty much whole grains, and they ate very little meat and milk. The one similarity that they have, which contrasts with most Western cultures, is the absence of toxins. I know we so feel that way in regards to toxins and the bad things it can have in our bodies. And I know it does have an effect. And that's kind of where I'm going to leave it today. But I guess the whole idea was, in my call, is that even if we eat right foods and we try to keep as much toxins out of our body as we can, that we're going to have a fairly decent life. Yes, we will pick up certain things, as they call degenerative diseases, and that all comes from, I think, a lot of the diet, and we're becoming a less exercised people. It's so easy now to sit down to a computer, particularly at work, and push a button, and it automatically prints. People don't have to get up and walk to a printer. Everybody has a printer usually on their desk. I look at all the things that we used to have to move in order to do that we don't have to do today. So that's kind of where I'm at. Does anybody have any comments that you'd like to either agree or disagree on? And how do you feel about that?
Monty,
well,
this is
something very interesting. And the thing that you read from was actually saying that pesticides and all these other things that we're exposed to, this is what brings about degenerative diseases. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
You know, because we're finding that, like I said earlier, is that, we think of when we get to 40 or 60 or 65 or 70, we start thinking that our body starts to deteriorate and we pick up that degenerative diseases are just normal. We have, in this society, have just kind of accepted that older folks are going to have all these type of problems. But like I said, they're now finding that not only is in the 70-year-old have the problem, but it used to be 50, and then it was 40, and now we're having children that are having all kinds of diseases. You know, autism, as an example, is one, and a lot of people think that comes from toxins, and particularly vaccinations that have mercury, and which is a toxin, which have all these things in it. So it basically pretty well much is our diet and how we live our life and try to stay away from those things. And the nice thing I like about that is that we in Nikin have probably such an advantage over other people that they don't even know about and know what's going on in regards to genetic diseases in our water systems, in our energy systems, like, you know, the mattress pad and the pillows and the mag steps and, you know, and the nutrition that is provided for us and, you know, the air that we have, can have air systems within our homes that actually allow us to get a lot of the toxins and bad pollutants out of the air that our bodies would normally absorb. So I think those of us that are Nikin have such an advantage if we take advantage of that.
Well, you know, it really was forcibly put to me yesterday morning. My husband was operated on Wednesday, and I stayed overnight in the hospital with him. And when I went to get up yesterday morning, I could not believe the difference in how my body felt trying to get out of that bed. I mean, it just downright hurt. And this morning when I got out of bed after sleeping on my wonderful Nikin mattress, it was very easy. And I thought to myself, oh, my goodness, Karen, you had not realized through the years what that Nikin mattress has been doing for you. And then the other thing I have to share with all of you is that in the process of this, his gallbladder going bad, Clyde's liver has been damaged. But fortunately, the liver will repair itself. But last night when I went in to get some prescriptions filled for Clyde, one of the things that the pharmacist said to me when I told him about Clyde's liver being damaged, he says, well, do you know, there's, I wish I had it in front of me now. It's some kind of a thistle that you can take, and it cures the liver or helps the liver to accelerate its repairing of itself. And do you know that this was a pharmacist telling me a natural way to help take care of the liver? Back to all the wonderful products that Nikin has, I'm telling you, I missed them so much while I was gone. And it was only for one night, but nonetheless, I really missed, you know, my water system and all those things.
I think that thistle that he was talking about was milk thistle.
Yeah, it is.
And what it does is help your liver detoxify. It doesn't cause the growth. It helps your liver detoxify from all the medications and pollutions that you're absorbing. I wonder if the guy that does these tapes, is there a way to put this particular tape in capital letters so we can find it, when you list it? Because, Monty, this is the tape to have as a reference review. I remember growing up noticing as old people started taking more and more medications. I took no medications. You remember when you took no medications? Okay. I mean, nobody took medications growing up. Okay. And they take more and more and more. Well, they take more and more and more because the pollution started. They started taking medications which were toxic. And of course the doctors who have only experience passing out toxic medications to address symptoms and not causes, their direct experience is that their older patients get worse and worse and worse. The only explanation they have available to them is this must be what happens in old age.
Yep.
yeah.
And I, Joan, I even was to the point where I was accepting some certain conditions that I have had as just because I was getting older.
Yeah, and it's a lie. It's a terrible lie.
It is.
And this thing about stress, it isn't just, you know, thinking makes it true, you know, like, you know, dealing with stress in terms of that if genetics, okay, believing genetics, you know, let you know, when you are stressed, think, what do you do to comfort yourself? You smoke a cigarette? You eat sugar?
Yep.
You what? You drink alcohol? You what? Okay. You learned that way of coping with stress from your mama. That's the genetic connection. You learned it in your family. You learned it. That's the genetic connection. I have worked with young kids that are obese, and I actually have heard a four-year-old who was cold because they were wet, swimming in the summer in the evening, okay? They were wet and they were cold, and they did not know what to do to deal with the discomfort. They were standing there shivering, and when I talked with them, they said, well, I guess I could eat something. Their mother was obese, and that was the solution to all difficulty. Are you angry? Eat something. Are you sad? Eat something. Are you cold? She generalized it. And that child is now 11 years old and obese.
Well, you know, how many times, and if anybody thinks I'm wrong in this comment, please feel free to say so. But how many times have you heard people say, well, ooh, I'm cold, or I'm in a breeze, or the weather, somehow they're outside, and they say, well, because I was in this cold breeze or this draft or whatever, I picked up a cold. Well,
it's a lie.
I know, because from what I understand in my life is that colds come from viruses, and we pick those viruses up on our hands, and we rub our eyes or our nose, and we do things like that, and then we catch cold, and that's just, so there's another one, and if I'm wrong on that, please feel free to feel, but cold does.
And the reason we catch cold from a virus is that our body is in a condition that it cannot digest the protein outside cell wall of the virus, the protein. It cannot digest it. The immune system does not recognize it or is overwhelmed by it because it lacks the enzyme to break through that protein cell.
And I know I know genetics does, you know, in the article that I was reading, it says it doesn't play a large part, but it does, in my opinion, it does. But it's only a weakness of a gene or whatever that might be inherited within the particular family strain. But that doesn't mean that just because somebody else has something that you're going to. Now, I have a aunt that died of breast cancer, and I know that all of her children are very concerned about that and do whatever, and they go in every year or whatever it is, I don't know, and get tested and that sort of stuff. But I do believe now that by eating a proper diet, not having the toxins, doing the kind of things we need to do, like exercise and all that kind of stuff that helps build our body's immunity, we can fight off a lot of those weak genes that we have in our body by pretty well much doing the right things that we know we should do. And that's the reason I think this call is so important, is that we get a lot of information, but we do know that inflammation, and we talk about it, and we talk about toxins, we talk about MSGs, we talk about all these things that can cause bad things within our body. And I'll tell you, if it hadn't been for this call, I would have never come up in my mind and thought about those type of things because of this call and the way that people share. And we have different ideas and different suggestions, and I've gotten an awful lot from this call, and I just really appreciate each and every one of you on this call, and we're kind of like a support team that will support one another, and I think that's very important, and I didn't realize it, but it's getting late. So does anybody else have any other comments you'd like to make?
Yes, I do have a comment, Monty.
Oh, yes, Ruth. Go.
On Monday, Mary Lou and I were talking, and so on Monday we decided that Mary Lou would like to do the Monday call better because she likes to go over those basics, and I like to find a topic and talk about that, and so we're going to switch places. Monday will be for Mary Lou, as you can see on the screen, and I will do Wednesday. So,
well, thank you.
That's my little announcement.
Great. Anybody else have any comments you'd like to make before we wrap this up?
Yeah, Monty, let me just share with you this idea of taking drugs that our doctors hand out so freely. I have a sister that's 2 years older than I, And both of us developed incontinence about the same time. And she was telling me about how wonderful it was to take this drug and that it helped her so dramatically. And I said, really? And she says, yeah, you ought to do that. So I almost thought I'd do it. Somehow I asked her one of the side effects. She says, well, she says, I always have a dry mouth. And for some reason, that held me back, and I did not want to do that. Mm-hmm. Do you know that this sister now, in the process of taking that drug, then they added in another drug, and then they added this and that, and her, and I know I don't have any proof of a correlation between this, but her brain now, her frontal lobe of her brain is shrinking. She has less than 5 years to live. She does not have control over her muscles. And they keep giving her more drugs to counteract this or that. And I've tried to talk to my sister about this, and it is just, I mean, she thinks her doctors are wonderful. Mm-hmm. So I feel that because I chose not to go down the route that she had gone, I feel like that I'm in a better health position than she is. And I just am so grateful that I had that inner knowledge of knowing, no, you should not do that. So the more you can stay away from drugs, the better.
Well, you know, it's just like Mary Lou. I always think when I think of things I read and how that certain things happen and how our Nikan products can be so beneficial to our health and everything, and it always pops up in my mind when Mary Lou talked about the difference between, I don't know if, and I think it was Larry's brother, and I don't know if they were twins or whatever, but basically since from the time that they got into Nikan into whatever, that how they talked to Larry's brother and how he didn't get it. Let me just put it out there bluntly, I guess. But how Larry and Mary Lou did, and the difference between Mary Lou, between Larry and her brother and his brother at this particular time. And I know that, again, that verifies that, again, based upon how we think about health and what we do about health and how we eat and the things we do, the products that Nikan has developed by taking advantage of that, we're just so much better off than the average person. And I'm just excited about that, and I know it certainly helped me. Anybody else real quickly, and then we're going to wrap at 7:42 Pacific time? Well, I'm going to say thank you again to each and every one of you, and we now know that Mary Lou will be on the call Monday, and we'll kind of enjoy that, and Ruth is going to take over Wednesdays, and things are going to just work out fine here, and we're all excited about each other, and we're all headed in the proper and right direction. Thank you all for being here and joining me on Friday in the call. Hope to see y'all or hear y'all on Monday. Have a good weekend.
God bless you.
Thank you, Monty.
Bye-bye.